Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode. I'm Rachel Fisher.
Oh, hi, Rachel.
I guess we only do that on the main.
I guess. I don't know why.
They know who we are by the time they're listening to the mini episode.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Those two.
Those two fucking bitches.
What's up? Any news today?
Our top story. Jen Shaw has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison for fraud. Wire fraud.
Yeah.
Now, we've done an episode. Desi, you did a combo episode last year.
Yeah.
On Jen Shaw and Erica Jane. Was that one episode?
I believe so. Because we didn't have a lot of information at that point on Jen Shaw.
No. But you gave us a very good rundown of who Jen Shaw is, what she did or what she was accused of doing.
Yeah.
And where we were at that time.
Yes.
We have been giving you guys updates for the past year.
Yeah. Here and there.
On Jen Shaw, star of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I guess not anymore.
I know. She kind of made it a little cryptic, though, because she said she was still a cast member in the whatever her statement today.
Yeah. The judge asked her if she was still employed by Bravo, and she said yes.
But we don't know what that means.
We have no idea what that means. She also said, because she pled guilty a few months ago.
Yes.
Several months ago. She did a plea deal.
She, after months, and we're watching the season now where she's still proclaiming her innocence.
I am innocent.
Up until even last night.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah.
Or whatever, not last night, but the episode that came out this week. I just watched it last night. It's been wild knowing she's pled guilty and watching her still proclaim her innocence. I mean, I don't think anyone bought that she was innocent, but there was always maybe like a 4% chance that she was in denial about what they were doing, possibly.
Right.
Nope. She full on knew. There's text messages of her laughing at victims, basically, or like, you know what I mean? Commenting on these elderly people that they were scamming. She's, oh man.
She's like, awful.
She's truly awful. If you ever see me delighting in anything she does, it's under the umbrella of she is a monster, but that is funny. Or like, it's like, she's a monster. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Her statement today, everything she does that she thinks is like making her look good actually makes me think she's more of a monster.
Right.
Especially today, in her statement, where she tried to use like her heritage of respecting elders. I just was like, come on.
Yeah.
Just fucking own up for once. Like everything, in my opinion, she's never taken accountability. Mm-mm. Even though she's pled guilty, even though she has the trappings of feeling for her victims. It's like the minute you start making excuses, in my mind, you're not taking accountability.
Also, her lawyer in the statement blamed her mental health for why she scammed elderly people out of their life savings.
I don't even like have an issue with people saying, here's an aspect of why I did what I did.
Yeah.
Like it's not, obviously there's a lot of people with mental health issues who don't commit crimes and scam people.
Yeah.
But if you want to bring it up as an aspect, yeah, I had this too. That's not what, but you always need to say to me, that's no excuse.
Yeah.
I'm just bringing up how I got into this situation, or that was an aspect of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Bring it up as an aspect of it, especially this is your chance, supposedly, to bring up any extenuating circumstances to get a lighter sentence. So
right.
You definitely, I feel like, have that opportunity, but you should always be like, first and foremost, though, I made this decision. I went into it willingly. My mental health issues had nothing to do with why I did this. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, bring it up. Yeah. Okay. But still, make sure you everyone knows you're taking accountability.
At least the least she could have done is admitted, like, yeah, I wanted to live beyond my means. I wanted to portray myself as someone who wears a lot of designer clothes.
Yeah.
And lives... And I, my hubris was so great that I applied to be on the biggest reality TV franchise in history.
Yeah, just like fucking own up to it. Like even the, I'm like, I love the judge. Well, first of all, he said that she had a hunger for trinkets, which is hilarious. Because that's really it.
Yeah.
And you could say that about almost every rich person.
Well, especially housewives, because a big part of housewives is we see how much, like their life of opulence.
And we know a lot of them are living well beyond their means. Like,
yeah,
even if they are rich.
Right.
And then the judge also brought up a good point when he said, Coach Shaw earned a good living. You had more than enough to be like a comfortable lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's like, it wasn't enough for you.
Right.
Like,
no, she had to throw the $80,000 birthday parties.
Right. And that is like, I that's like one of my least favorite things on Housewives when I find out how much they spent on parties.
Yeah.
It's just so disgusting to me. Like,
yeah,
it's like a 20,000 party. That sounds like a lot of money to me. Like,
right.
And they'll do that for a kid's fourth birthday party.
It's gross. Just like,
it is gross. But I mean, that is part of why we watch the show, like
right.
To see this kind of stuff. So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, did you have like a list of things to go through, or we're just gonna like,
no, I mean, we did a thread. I can read like part of the Deadline article on her that just gets more into detail with a little, we have some quotes here. Judge Stein said today, my intention is to impose a sentence of 78 months of incarceration and other conditions. I sentence you to 78 months, which everybody was joking on Twitter that they had to Google to find out it was 6.5 years. She's also going to get 5 years of supervised release after she's released from prison, however long she ends up actually serving.
I also saw that she requested to have a facility that had a drug rehab program.
I saw that too.
But then I read that's something people do because if you're in a program like that, you can get a reduced sentence.
Right.
Because everyone was like, what's she going to that for?
Right.
I mean, she does drink a lot. But
she drinks a lot, but that's never been a storyline on Housewives. So we're just not aware of any alcohol or substance abuse issues she has.
Right. But that does make sense. That she would do something like that just to get a reduced sentence.
Right.
I mean, anyone probably would.
I want to talk about, from the Deadline article, it says, Shaw agreed to pay restitution to all the victims and said that the profits from the merchandise with the tagline, Free Jen Shaw, that she was selling, quote, through a third-party vendor would be, quote, devoted to the victims. So if you remember when it was after she had been arrested and charged with these crimes,
right,
that Jen Shaw was selling merch saying Free Jen Shaw and like justice for Jen Shaw.
Well, this woman has no shame.
Yeah.
She knew she was guilty the whole time. Okay.
Yeah.
So the fact that, I mean, I just can't get over being the shameless. Like,
yeah.
She knew she was guilty. She chose to put this merch together. I like how she's like a third part. It's like, whoa, so what, Teespring? Like,
right.
As if that like
makes
separates her from the merch selling. I don't know why she brought up a third party. Like, she wasn't silk screening them herself. I mean, duh. But like, she knew that she was guilty, and it's like, why do you got to go that extra?
Right.
Like, if you were guilty, let's say if I was guilty of something and I wanted to proclaim I'm innocent, a lot of people want to do that because they don't want to go to jail. I wouldn't go extra.
Yeah.
I'd keep a real low profile. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be humble. Like, if I was on Real Housewives this season, I would have been volunteering.
Yeah.
I would have been keeping it really like, wow, I really feel for these victims, even if it was a lie. Like, she doesn't do any of that.
No.
She had this whole opportunity for 13 episodes or whatever the fuck it is to look more contrite.
Yes.
Even if you are not guilty. You can be like, I feel for these victims. I want to make sure if I had any part to do with a company that defrauded these victims, I want their money back.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like very similar to Erica Jane. She's so busy making sure no one knew she didn't do anything. She has zero sympathy for the victims because right. she feels like that looks like she's guilty. It's like, no, it doesn't. I have zero to do with victims of either of these crimes, and I can still have empathy for them and want to help them if I could. Like,
right.
It's just, it's so weird to me. Like,
yeah. And it's like, if she really had any shame, she wouldn't have gone around punching Heather Gay, allegedly.
She allegedly. Punched Heather Gay.
We all
know that she punched
know
Heather
that,
Gay.
Right?
And like, and in a way, I get why Heather Gay kept it secret. My problem with Heather Gay is one time she said, I'm not talking about it. Or say, I fucking tripped and hit my eye on the nightstand.
Right.
Come up with a lie, stick to it. Don't play these fucking games where you're like, I don't know, maybe something happened. I don't remember.
But
oh,
I
know what happened.
Yeah.
She like switched it a million times. I don't need five episodes of you bullshitting. You know what happened. Fucking lie once and get it over with, or say, I'll never tell you what happened.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
But she's been hemming and hawing for five episodes in a row, however long it's been
yeah.
since the Black Eye incident.
No, they were in San Diego for literally 8 years.
I feel like this, I feel like this season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City should just have been called Real Housewives of San Diego. I never want to go to San Diego again on this show.
It was so bizarre. I've never seen a longer girls trip in my life.
And it's like only like 3 days in real time, but
it
felt like a century.
It was sick. It was like six episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was fucking
and
it's, crazy.
And like three of them were about the Black Eye, but
yeah.
not finding anything out.
No.
I mean, Heather, I get what not, obviously that would have not looked good for Jen.
Right.
So we all know what happened.
Right.
Even if it was an accident or they were goofing off or whatever, she didn't want to get her in more trouble. And that's sort of illustrates my point where she knew that these episodes would be looked at.
Yes.
And still Jen did nothing to use these episodes to benefit her, which is crazy to me because she was too busy still pretending she was innocent
and screaming and crying at anyone who questioned that.
Can't you pretend you're innocent and still look like you're a good person?
No,
that's
she
the
can't.
Question.
She can't do it. She can't do it. She can't fucking
she
do it.
She is a bad person and she will never change. That's my opinion. Cause she doesn't truly think, I don't believe she truly thinks she did anything wrong.
I agree. I think she is mad she got caught.
Yeah.
And thinks she got screwed. I really think she's fundamentally incapable of being honest with herself.
I think she thinks they could have investigated the claims we were making. They didn't. And I wouldn't even be surprised if she thought things about her victims that were like, they're going to die soon anyway. Do they really need the money? I need the money for my trinkets. Like, I think that's her reasoning. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They'll get taken care of by their family.
Right.
Like, she has zero respect for these people and what she did to them.
Yeah. I mean, should we talk about what she wore to court?
Absolutely.
So that was like a big point of speculation for myself, Desi, and Kara, Allie, and Melissa in our Twitter chat the other day. Kara suggested maybe she'll wear white to proclaim her innocence, which I thought was a very good guess.
That's a classic choice.
Yeah.
And I was picturing, you know, a drapey, capey white wool coat or something.
Yes.
With a gold, whatever, embellishment.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good choice. We all knew it was going to be something. You know, she's not walking in a plain gray suit or
no.
whatever.
No.
They usually do.
She did wear for Jen, this was a demure look. For Jen.
Yes.
It was a camel pantsuit with a big coat draped around her shoulders.
Now the I did get a glimpse of the pantsuit.
Okay.
And it almost looked like it had a shimmer leopard print on it.
You mean it was on the shirt she was wearing?
On the shirt,
not on the trousers and the jacket.
I didn't see the trousers necessarily. No, the jacket is like just a camel
jacket.
Nice kind of drapey.
She had that with matching camel pants.
So the pants were camel. And then the blouse was like a leopard shimmer camel print. Like a subtle shimmer.
It was like the same tone as the pants and the jacket, but with like a leopard, a faint leopard.
Now, here's a moment where I have to give this monster a little like, okay, this is, I like this. Because that is, first of all, to wear leopard into your sentencing is a nod to like a 1920s femme fatale. Like, yeah. Or that era, 20s to 50s, walking into court after like killing her husband or something.
Right.
Still vamping it up.
Plus she had the leopard clutch.
The leopard cut. Then, and this was a more classic leopard print.
Yes.
Like a dark, it was not camel. It was the dark and camel kind of combo with a gold buckle element to it.
Yeah. It was an envelope clutch.
And it was chic. It wasn't like her classic over the top tacky nonsense.
Yeah. Like we said, this was demure for Jen, but it was still glamazon.
Well, because like I said, just wearing leopard is
at all
incredible
to your sentencing.
And as you maybe mentioned, or Kara mentioned, that she wore leopard boots when she got arrested. She was wearing leopard boots.
Yeah.
That she also wore to trial at some point, I think, or while she was going to trial.
She wore them a few days ago when she was traveling from Utah to New York.
Yeah.
To her sentencing. So Kara pointed that out. She said, bitch, is she wearing the same boots that she got arrested in?
That was such a good catch from Kara.
Yeah.
Because, that's like, to even have those boots still.
Like, it was great.
I mean, I would love to know what's going on with her assets.
Yeah.
When is the auction?
Oh, yeah. When can we buy some of those fake Birkins that she had?
You know, I want one of her, like, that's another classic Jen Shaw, some kind of weird headpiece.
Right.
Whether it's like a diamond with a teardrop diamond in the forehead.
Right.
Various hats. She's got a lot of hats.
She's got a lot of hats.
I mean, I thought the outfit didn't disappoint, but it definitely was not as crazy as I maybe thought, was hoping for.
Yeah. We had a fantasy of it being like feathers and sequins, obviously.
Just like one element.
And some kind of crazy accessory.
Yes. So I agree with Jen that leopard is demure.
Well, leopard for a certain type of woman like us is a neutral.
Yeah. So I mean, it was pretty good.
It was demure for Jen. I'll say it again.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so I want more. I want more information. I want to know what's going on with her right now. What is she doing? She's supposed to check into prison, I think February 23rd.
Right, because she walked out.
Yeah.
This was not an immediately you're going to prison.
She has it till the end of February, I believe.
And she requested going to Texas.
Her lawyer requested a specific minimum security facility. And the judge said, well, I don't know where they're going. It's going to be somewhere in Texas.
Right.
So he didn't agree to this specific facility they wanted.
And I do think when she requested that treatment facility or like the rehab type thing,
the program,
maybe only certain locations have that type of thing. It had a specific acronym. I don't remember what it was.
But you know they want like the most minimum security.
Oh, totally. Like a Martha Stewart type deal.
Right.
And it's, I guess, I don't know if federal prisons, maybe they're not in every state. So maybe that's the closest to Utah.
Right.
That would make sense. I don't know.
We all wondered why it was in Texas.
Yeah. I just don't know enough about the prison system. But I feel like they might be sort of spread out more. So,
I'm curious about her moves between now and then. What is she going to be up to? Is she going to be talking a lot? Is she going to be tweeting a lot? Is she going to be on Instagram?
Can you do that in prison?
No, I'm talking about between now and when she checks in.
Oh, between now and, because it's like 2 months almost.
Yeah, like what is she going to have to say for herself? Because she's someone who likes to talk. She's someone who likes to, I mean, as we've seen over the past year, whenever it was that she was arrested, she's just been so loud. She's still been very loud on social media.
Well, someone posted some post she did back in April when she first, I think, said she had mental health issues.
Yeah.
And it was just posting all these kind of mental health memes on Instagram. Just like,
right.
She really fell into that, you know, and became, and was trying to become like an advocate or something. It's like, yeah, but you're using that to stigmatize, because you're saying this is why I committed a crime.
Right.
That's actually bad for mental health advocacy. Like,
yeah,
you don't want to act like that's what happens.
Or that's what you're, yeah, that's her excusing her shitty behavior.
Right.
I mean, because I read the victim impact statements and they're really fucking sad.
It's sad. And we saw this with other documentaries we've watched the past year that dealt with victims of scams like LuLaRoe and other ones. We saw some of the victims speaking and it's like, this was their whole life savings.
Right.
And, that's really scary at the end of your life. You save up to have this comfortable, or at least, you know, reasonably comfortable existence that you've saved up for.
Or you're saving for your kids.
With your social security check, it's like a livable income. And you take away that savings, no one can live off of social security usually.
Right.
Like,
right.
So I don't know. It's really awful.
Yeah. And but, meanwhile, you're seeing her on TV, like, wearing these ridiculous outfits and throwing $80,000 parties with your money.
And like, this is very similar also to the Erika Jayne situation. It's like, you did this.
Yeah.
You put this lifestyle on the screen where people could be like, hey, wait a minute.
Where's that coming from?
Yeah. Like, they did it to themselves in many ways. And I mean, that's a great downfall, because it's like,
well, I love that her lawyer said something to the effect of like, she chose to go on Housewives because she was feeling like she was down in a slump. She needed to like boost her self-esteem. It's like, that is a deranged thing to do. Like, I'm having a bad mental health day, I'm going to go on Housewives.
Yeah. That's not going to do anything good.
Yeah.
Or real.
Why would you do that? I also like the detail when Jen Shaw pointed out today in court that, Bravo wrote, I'm shamazing. Like, they came up with shamazing, not her. She's like, I didn't even come up with that. They came up with that. Like, that fucking matters.
But she fucking loves saying it. Like,
she said it off television all the time. That's her like tagline for life.
Yeah. I don't know why that mattered.
That was really funny to me.
Cause it's like once again, trying to deflect, like,
yeah,
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't even do that. Yeah. All of this things you're seeing on TV is fake.
Really?
It's like, really?
No.
So what's real?
Right. And why would you portray yourself like that willingly?
Exactly.
Why would you do that?
Why would you? So yeah, it's like, it's, you look bad.
Yeah.
You're tacky.
She's you're tacky. Anyway, we'll give you updates if there are any interesting updates. I know Cara Berry is doing a full-on breakdown today of everything on her podcast, Everyone's Business But Mine. So if you want more information about that.
That dropped right when I pulled up.
Oh, she just dropped it? Okay, good.
Yeah, it's so, definitely up.
So listen to Cara Berry's episode today.
I was laughing because I started playing it, of course. And I was sitting in my car finishing my coffee, and she had like the breaking news music.
Oh, I love that.
I was like, ooh, some production.
I love that. Okay, let's get into our other news stories from this week. Desi, you actually tweeted about this. This is from Reuters. Former Colorado funeral home owner sentenced to 20 years for selling body parts. Now, you, Desi, you wrote, I don't know, she looks innocent to me.
She's got a look.
This woman loves moose. This is someone who's still using moose today. She loves it. She's got some very crunchy hair going on. She's got a lot of blush. A former Colorado funeral home worker was sentenced to 20 years in federal prison on Tuesday for defrauding relatives of the dead by dissecting 560 corpses and selling body parts without permission. Megan Hess, 46.
She's 46.
She's only 46.
Oh my God.
Pleaded guilty to fraud in July. She operated a funeral home in called Sunset Mesa and a body parts entity, Donor Services, from the same building in Montrose, Colorado. The 20-year term was the maximum allowed under the law. Her 69-year-old mother, Shirley Koch, also... it might be Coke. I don't know. I don't know, Desi. It might be...
Classic mistake.
Classic mistake, which we've made before. Also pleaded guilty to fraud and was sentenced to 15 years. Koch's central role was chopping up the bodies, court records show. Hess and Koch used their funeral home at times to essentially steal bodies and body parts using fraudulent and forged donor forms. Prosecutor Tim Neff said in a court filing, Hess and Koch's conduct caused immense emotional pain for the families and next of kin. You know what this reminds me of is our episode, our two-part, maybe it was a three-part episode that we did a couple of years ago on the Lamb funeral home.
Yeah. Who's buying these parts? Don't they have a better system to verify?
Well, we went through this. Now, that case we talked about in the Lamb funeral case, that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
But I remember these guys were operating this kind of chop shop at their funeral home / crematorium for years.
But they had other scams going on.
They had some other scams,
yeah,
too.
Like just the way they cremated bodies or the ashes they were giving back, right?
They weren't
like,
giving back the actual ashes.
Yeah.
They were also, I think, stealing fillings from people.
Right.
It was all sorts of gross stuff. But this woman also has been doing a similar thing. They conducted unauthorized dismemberments of bodies. And a few weeks after a 2018 story was published, the FBI raided the business. In their filing, prosecutors stressed the macabre nature of Hess's scheme and described it as one of the most significant body parts cases in recent U.S. history.
There's more than one?
It's the most. It's one of the most significant. Hess's lawyer says she's been unfairly vilified as a witch and a monster and a ghoul. These are all in quotes. When instead she is a, quote, broken human being. So the Jen Shaw defense.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's almost like there's a type of person who can't accept responsibility and then becomes the victim when everyone's like, hey, you're a piece of shit.
They're
Do you know what I mean?
No, I'm just sad.
Yeah, we're all broken, babe. Right.
It says, the lawyer continues that the conduct can be attributed to a traumatic brain injury at age 18.
Mm.
Koch told the judges she was sorry and took responsibility for her actions, but I guess her daughter didn't. Let me just continue with this. Tina Shannon, whose mother was dismembered against her will, told the court, I've worn many masks to cover the pain. I'll never be okay. It is illegal in the United States to sell organs such as hearts, kidneys, tendons for transplant. They must be donated. But selling body parts such as heads, arms, spines, which is what Hess did, for use in research or education is not regulated by federal law.
Oh.
Hess committed crimes, prosecutors said, when she defrauded relatives of the deceased by lying about cremations and by dissecting bodies and selling them without permission. The surgical training companies and other firms which bought the arms, legs, heads, and torsos from Hess did not know they had been fraudulently obtained, prosecutors said. At her funeral home, Hess charged families up to $1,000 for cremations that never occurred, prosecutors said. And she offered others free cremations in exchange for a body donation.
But shouldn't these research places be asking some more questions?
Yeah, they got to ask a little more. Prosecutors said she lied to more than 200 families who received cremated ashes from bins mixed with the remains of different cadavers. So this is very similar to the Lamb funeral home.
It's kind of unreal that all of this stuff isn't more regulated.
Yeah.
Like, investigate every funeral home now.
Oh, my God. Desi. Well, don't fucking do this. Don't defraud people who have just gone through a terrible loss. That's just really mean.
Now, I will say, I just saw the woman's picture in the headline.
Yeah.
It just popped off the tweet. Yeah. I didn't realize how bad it was.
Yeah.
It's pretty, like, gruesome.
It's pretty bad.
Well, because you look at her and it's like, well, she probably did a few bad things. But this is, like, intense crime with her mom.
With her mom.
And I thought she was much older because her look is, like,
very dated.
It's like when you see, like, a older woman in their, like, 70s and you're like, oh, that's been their look for 40 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't change it. She has that look of someone who was, like, a grandma in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's why I thought she was, I was like, oh, would she probably just did a few bad things. She's a grandma.
No, but her mom, her 69-year-old mom, was also doing bad things.
I know. Whenever it's a mother-daughter crime entity, there's some issues going on.
What's
there.
What's going on with that relationship?
That relationship is fucked up.
You guys need to talk about that. This is like women be scamming hour.
Yeah.
This whole episode is women be scamming. Because
And crimin'.
This is from People magazine. Romance writer appears to announce she's alive.
Oh, God.
Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
2 years after she supposedly died by suicide. Susan Meechan seemingly returned to social media this week after her death was announced in a Facebook post in October 2020. More than 2 years after romance writer Susan Meechan's death was announced on her Facebook page, she seemingly returned to the platform to reveal she is alive. Online friends and followers of Meechan believed that she had been dead since late 2020 after someone claiming to be her daughter posted the news via her Facebook account, according to Insider and Rolling Stone. The post has since been deleted. The person claimed Meechan's death was the result of bullying and harassment from other members of her book community. Just weeks earlier, Meechan had posted a lengthy message about a suicide attempt amid struggles with her career. Since then, Meechan's Facebook page has been used to promote her work and to share posts about suicide prevention. All along, fans of the page were led to believe the posts were written by her daughter. I missed it, but happy heavenly birthday, friend Kristen Collins wrote on Meechan's Facebook page in February of 2021. I know you're dancing in heaven with nothing but peace in your heart, finally. Her final book, Love to Last a Lifetime, was published in October of 2020. But this week, a person claiming to be the author using Meechan's account posted to The Ward, which is a private writer's Facebook group, announcing she was alive.
I'm sorry.
This is what the post said. I debated on how to do this a million times, and I'm still not sure if it's right or not. There's going to be a ton of questions and a lot of people leaving the group, I guess. But my family did what they thought was the best for me, and I can't fault them for it. I almost died again at my own hand and then had to go through all that hell again. Returning to the ward doesn't mean much, but I am in a good place now and I'm hoping to write again. Let the fun begin.
Deranged behavior.
Ending it with let the fun begin makes it crazier.
Oh, absolutely. But what? Now this article keeps saying seemingly. Do we not know that that's her yet?
I don't.
Is there no proof?
I don't know. There seems like there's no proof that she died or that there's no definitive proof that she's alive.
No one knows who's making these posts.
But that's a post.
Yeah. But this story is so bizarre. I don't know why anyone would come back with a post like that if it is true.
People obviously commented on this post announcing she was surprised I'm alive. Author Karen Hall commented, I can forgive many things, but I don't think I could ever forgive you faking your death.
I mean, it's extreme.
It's pretty extreme. Author Samantha A. Cole, who said she knew Meechan before the events of 2020, shared a video response to her Facebook page. She said, quote, I was friends with this author. I was not close friends with this author, but we chatted once or twice a month. for quite a while. I was devastated when I heard she had allegedly committed suicide. There were a lot of posts on her wall allegedly from her family blaming the book world for bullying her mother to the point that she took her own life. Those posts are now gone. There was an outpouring of outrage, support for those who were hurting, support for her family. People did free editing on her last book so her family could release it for her in memory of her. There were people who were ripped apart because people started blaming and pointing fingers at everyone, blaming people, and I was one of the people being blamed for allegedly bullying her when I had done nothing of the sort. I need to unplug for the next couple days and wrap my head around all this and get back to work. Cole added that she will now be more careful of who she befriends online. Anyway, that's a wild story, and I'm curious to know more about that.
Well, and here's, like, once again, an example of someone, okay, let's say you want to get out of being in the world somehow, you fake your own death. Then do you have to go so extra as to, like, get people to do free editing for you? Use that, the sympathy that's outpouring, to kind of criticize people and be mean to people. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
And it's also, like, you want to drop out of society, whatever, find a way to do that. Maybe that doesn't hurt people.
Yeah.
But then to go so extra after the fact and start being like, see what you've done.
Right.
Knowing you're alive. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's disrespectful to people who have gone through a suicide in their family.
Yeah.
Or attempted suicide. It's just disrespectful to that journey,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to get sympathy,
right,
for something like that.
Right.
And then to accuse people of causing something that didn't happen.
Right.
It's just outrageous.
It's crazy. And then to, like, use that to promote your books.
So
yeah. She was profiting off of this.
Right. And it's also like, I mean, I get, like, it is like sort of this fantasy I think a lot of people have, like seeing what people would say about them after they're dead, or
but,
like,
it's just a fantasy.
Yeah, it's a fantasy. It's more like, what do people really think of me, or like, whatever, like, or will people miss me, or whatever.
Yeah,
this is just crazy in this day and age to try to pull off a caper like this.
Yeah,
even if she didn't come forward, she's bound to get caught somehow.
Yeah,
but I'm very curious about the use of the word supposedly in this People article. Because it's like, so we still don't know?
Right.
I thought it was known at this point, like,
that she's alive.
Not. Yeah, I guess it's just the post.
Yeah, I'd like more information on this.
It's a good one.
Anyway, this is a good place to take a break. Women be scamming.
Yeah.
Not all women, but these women. All right.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. That's rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene.
Desi, what'd you watch, listen, read this week?
I I'm still watching Potomac.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Potomac.
How's that going?
Great. Definitely one of the best, maybe the best franchise, Real Housewives franchise.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's just always good. So watching that, obviously, I watched Salt Lake. Nothing really. I want to watch The Menu. I didn't
Me
get
too.
To it yet.
Wait, is it streaming yet?
Yeah, it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch that for a while. So that's good to know it's streaming.
Yes, but
people like it. That,
yeah, it seems to be interesting enough to watch. I'm just waiting. Well, I want to watch Megan, but I don't know how I'll do that. Because it's in theaters.
We got to go to the theater. I know, but that's a movie I also really want to see in the theater.
And I want to watch, I can't wait for Plane.
Yeah.
That's like next week.
That's next week already?
Yeah. I think it's like the 13th or something.
Wow.
So with my boy, Gerard Butler, he's a pilot in a plane.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I watched anything else. I'm just plowing through Potomac. I'm already on end of season six. And then, so we're on season seven now live. And then I've been listening. I downloaded all of Kara's old recaps of seasons that I just listened to, five and six. So I've been listening to those. Cause like I've said before, it's really hard to watch old reality TV because no one's talking about it and you need to hear some other opinions.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Yes.
So there was a big fight in season five of Potomac that sort of blew everything up. So I really needed to see where people were siding. So Kara gave me some guidance on that.
Good. Good.
yeah. So that's where I'm at. I'm hoping to get a good show soon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I almost started watching Criminal Minds.
Why not, Desi?
Because you said something, tweeted something maybe the other day.
Oh, yeah.
About an episode.
The puppets?
Yes. And I was like, oh.
That's look, Desi, every case is like that. Let me tell you about Criminal Minds.
Okay.
This is my second rewatch of Criminal Minds. I'm having a blast because I've forgotten a lot of stuff. But there are certain episodes of that series that really have stuck with me. And one of those episodes is the one where the unsub or unknown subject is turning his victims into human marionette puppets.
Okay, see, I didn't know what unsub meant.
That's like the killer.
Is that what they call it on Criminal Minds?
Yeah, because they don't know who he is yet. He's the unknown subject, aka the unsub.
So they call that's, I've never heard that word before.
It's something in the BAU, the behavioral analysis unit.
Okay. Well, see, now I'm thinking, I'm like, maybe I should recap it for Patreon and watch it from the beginning.
And
So then there's a purpose beyond me watching 200 episodes of a television show.
It's just the thing that's great about Criminal Minds, and I'm sure I said this like 2 years ago on the last watch I did of it, the first and last. It's just so deranged. It's so unnecessarily deranged, too.
Why Criminal Minds as opposed to all the other procedurals?
Because there's something, okay, this is a really hot take.
Okay.
But there's something I realized that separates Criminal Minds from the other procedurals. Not that I don't love Law & Order and Law & Order SVU, but Criminal Minds, it's the tonally, it's more horror. There's something about it that is more horror. It's not as like, obviously it's not focused on the law aspect. It's focused on the psychology of the criminals, hence the title, and the disturbing elements of these crimes. Because all these crimes are like fantastical, ridiculous, absurd.
Right.
Like Jason Alexander plays one of the unsubs and he has like a white wig that he wears, like a long hair in it. And he's putting his victims through like a saw like kind of trap. Everything, it's like,
so it's the focus on the criminal mind that you like. I mean, I don't know why I'm just putting together Criminal Minds.
Wow.
What the show's about.
The show,
the title could be anything. It could be more like an SVU show. It doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
no.
It is specifically like Jodie Foster, like that Quantico, like where they're like Yes. Or like, you know, what is it? Mindhunter. It's more that aspect of
it. It's all about profiling.
Yeah,
it's
I like that.
It's all about criminal profiling. So each episode, they come up with the profile and they're like, our unsub is a white male, age 25. And they're saying this before they've caught him. They figured it out. They're like, our unsub is a white male between ages 25 and 30. He most likely was abused by his mother. He probably has some sort of impotence. Like they had come up with all these little.
And then they cut to whatever matches the profile, like at a shop looking at a woman or something.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's in the spirit of all procedurals, it has that element where you're like, oh, this is comforting to watch because it's a procedural.
We know what's going to happen.
The structure of it is familiar.
Okay.
It's the not the subject material is comforting, just the formatting of it, like all procedurals. If you're into that, you enjoy that familiarity.
I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to try to figure out a way to make it into something we can do for Patreon. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe we can talk about it.
Maybe it can be Desi's criminal mind thoughts.
Yeah.
And it can be a jumping off point.
Well, because I'm the noob.
You're the noob.
And you're watching it for the second time.
Yes.
So
with Brendan this time.
Oh.
And he loves it now.
Okay. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to start it tonight.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out a way to do something with it. Because I think it'll be fun.
I really like it. I think it's a show that doesn't have a bad season.
What sold me finally is realizing it's a profiling show. Because I like profiling.
It's all profiling.
And so, wait, the first few seasons are Mandy Patinkin?
Yeah.
And then he gets replaced?
By Joe Mantegna.
From Baby's Day Out?
That's where you...
No, that happened to me in an elevator. I tweeted about it. It was around Christmas. I was in an elevator with some guy who was like some blowhard talking to a woman. And he's like, you know Joe Mantegna from Baby's Day Out? And I was like, that's where you know Joe Mantegna? Like, that's where?
Right.
Like, I was just blown away by someone who knows Joe Mantegna.
Right.
But it's from Baby's Day Out. And that's his example he gives to the world. I was like, this is so funny to me. I couldn't get over it. So now it's what I say.
I didn't even remember he was in that.
I Googled it afterwards because I was like, this guy's probably not even right. But nope, Joe Mantegna's in Baby's Day Out.
He's also the voice of Fat Tony in The Simpsons.
I mean, there's so many other places you could know him from.
Right.
And for an adult man to say to Baby's Day Out.
That's an incredible statement.
It was very
funny.
I
love it. No, but he replaces Mandy Patinkin in like the end of the second season.
Now, is this the show with Polly Perrette?
No, no.
What is that show?
That's like CSI or
okay,
something.
Okay, it's a CSI.
No, this is Matthew Gray Goobler, Paget Brewster.
Oh, Paget Brewster, yeah.
Who's great. Joe Mantegna. Aisha Tyler comes in later in the series.
Oh,
and I love Aisha Tyler. Yeah. She's amazing. It's mostly, and Shamar Moore, of course.
Ooh.
He's in like all of it. But there are some there's some rotating people.
And then is there a new Criminal Minds?
Yes, the new season just came out, Criminal Minds Evolution. I still haven't watched it.
Well, is Joe Mantegna in it?
I think so.
Okay, so it's the same people.
Not all of them. I know Paget's back. I know Garcia's back. I don't think Matthew Gray Goobler came back though.
I have no idea who that is.
You'll get to know him. He's the nerd.
Oh, he's the nerd. I mean, you can almost tell by his name. He sounds kind of nerdy.
He kind of is in real life. He's like really into magician stuff.
Okay.
But yeah.
Nerds are fine.
Look, he's very charming on the show. The thing is pretty much every character or all the FBI agents, like they're likable enough.
And they all have their specialty, right?
Yeah, or they all have their strengths, I would say.
So what is the purpose of this new show? Is there any new element to it, or is it basically we're back?
It's we're back, but also I think as opposed to episodic, it's more this season, from what I've read, is like a serial. So it's one case.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's just what I've read, but I haven't looked too much into it because I'm saving it.
Okay.
Anyway, no, but the show is mostly episodic. However, as the seasons go on, there are more through storylines and especially like serial killers who come back.
Okay.
So it's good to know them.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it from the beginning. You know I have to.
You got
to
watch it from the beginning. It's. I'm excited. I'm so excited for your journey.
Okay.
It's very bingeable.
Great. Well, you'll hear more about this coming in the new year.
It's on Paramount Plus, which is also which is also the streaming site that hosts Melrose Place, which plug for me and Desi's other podcast called Bitch Slap that we do every week.
Right. So you can now you can join us on both of these rides. Just join. We don't even get any money from Paramount.
No,
Plus.
They don't.
We
give us,
should.
They should give us money.
We're telling about all these shows. I actually do like that app.
I do too.
It's pretty good.
I do too. There's another thing I watch on there too.
Okay, great.
Anyway, what'd you eat? Did we eat anything good this week? Nothing.
But we didn't talk about my birthday dinner.
We didn't talk about your birthday dinner.
So we can
dinner.
Do that.
Okay, good.
We went to Republique.
Yeah.
Which is a really good French bistro-y like type place, but it's like an elevated bistro, I would say. It's not like fine dining French, like where you get the little tiny portions. They have really home-cooked kind of dishes.
Yeah.
You can get like the roasted chicken, everything's to share,
yes,
basically.
But it's fancy.
It's fancy. It was so good. You think that was like one of the best meals we've had?
I mean,
it was just good. Everything was good.
I know Republique is a highly rated restaurant, but I feel like there's something about it that's underrated.
I think it's under the radar.
It doesn't get talked about enough.
It doesn't get talked about. It's never had that hotspot type deal where everyone wants to go there and you can't get in.
Right.
I feel like, unless it did maybe when it first opened. The thing I like about this restaurant is it looks like a cathedral inside or something.
Yeah.
Like you're walking into like an old stone, whatever. I like the vibe of the interior.
But
it's
you can
really
also
cute.
See like the kitchen.
Yeah.
It kind of has that like live cooking element. Not like fully.
Where you're annoyed.
Where you're
too loud.
No, but you can like see someone making bread or something. And I like that.
We were like at a table where they had a really, I don't know if it's the chef, but he was like a really hot French chef, like smoking with long hair.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the chef when he's young. So
like a picture.
Yeah. Remember that picture that was like, I'm pointing to it. It was up there. Like I'm on my side.
I didn't even see it.
Oh, I thought I pointed it out. Yeah. It was really funny. I was like, ooh, he's hot. Like hot chef. So it was, first of all, it's very cute. They leave a card for you on your table if it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Like it's like a birthday card, which I thought really was really
sweet.
Cute. They told us we had to get 6 to 9 dishes for sharing for 3 people. So, of course, we got like 9 or like close to it.
Yeah.
We were on the high end. So, oh my God. I mean, I don't even remember everything we got. They gave us like a free little cream of mushroom soup that was really yummy.
It was so good.
We got potato leek beignets that were delicious. We had a really good salad that had like a green goddess dressing on it. We had a vegetable, like a roasted vegetables with a red, like a sweet potato hummus.
Yeah.
That was really good and had like a spice to it.
Yeah.
Remind me of things. What else? We had 2 pastas that were killer.
We had one pasta was a, I always say this wrong.
Agnolotti.
Agnolotti stuffed with mashed cauliflower, which doesn't sound necessarily good, but it was real good, and it was topped with lobster.
It was the combination all worked really well together, and had like a butter, that kind of emulsified butter sauce,
like a beurre blanc.
Yeah,
sauce.
The lobster was so good, and the other pasta was a tortellini mushroom, where they actually did the shaved truffles on top.
We got fancy for Desi's birthday.
I had never had shaved truffles.
Yeah,
and it was really good.
It was good.
We also had like a steak with vegetables. I feel like we had another appetizer that was really good. And now I'm
totally.
Oh, we had the bread with the pan drippings.
That's like their signature. Like their signature appetizer at this restaurant is you got to order the bread because you get this long ass baguette, this freshly made baguette.
That's like crunchy and soft. It's like freshly made. It's
and
perfect.
It comes on one of those big old wooden boards. And
then it's sliced.
And you can get it with butter Or you can get it with pan drippings, which I highly recommend. It's very special. They bring you this little tiny copper pot filled with pan drippings. So you're basically just dunking hunks of this baguette into gravy.
It's so good.
It's so delicious. My God. And then for dessert, what do we have?
We got a brown butter almond cake with like fruit on top. We had a strawberry tiramisu, which is was very unusual. It wasn't like the classic combo. It had like an orange sorbet in it as well.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was so fresh tasting. And then
the pizookie.
I don't know what it had. It was like a minuit, I think it's called, which was
miquit.
Yeah, that's right. Miquit. But it was basically a hot, melty cookie in a pan.
Yeah.
Which we all know is called a pizookie at like Applebee's or wherever you go. It had ice cream. Oh, it had banana ice cream on it.
That was good.
That was the point where I was getting stuffed, but I had to keep eating that hot cookie because I was like, this is so good. I was like, why am I running out of steam right now?
Right.
I want to finish up this dessert. I wanted to have every bite. I don't even think I ate that much of the brown butter cake. Because the other two were so freaking good.
Yeah.
They were just like so good. And I've had, like the brown butter cake is obviously also good, but I've had it before and I hadn't had those other two. So I was really trying to get it all in.
Yeah.
And I just didn't.
It was a great meal. It was a great little birthday celebration.
I just love that restaurant and I want to try their other places because they have two other restaurants in LA. One is called like Manska, which I think is their last name of the chef. And then the other one is called La Bicyclette, which is also like a French bistro-y type place. But they look cute.
Yeah.
They're smaller because Republic is huge.
It's a big restaurant.
And they have an amazing looking brunch, which we've never gone
to. We've never gone, but we got to go to that.
My niece sent me a picture. She's like, look at this place. I was like, oh, I've gone there for dinner.
We've been to there for dinner several times. And every time I've gone, I've sat in a different section of restaurant. And it's all kind of different depending on where you sit.
I really liked where we were for your birthday that year.
Me too.
That was really fun.
It's definitely a good birthday spot.
It's definitely pricey, but not like crazy. It's not like one of those places that's like $300 per person or whatever.
It's pricey. Like,
it is pricey, but it is definitely worth it for a special occasion. You can obviously get less dishes than we did.
Right.
And save some money and not order drinks or whatever and do it like if you need to have a lower, you know, price point. It's just so good.
Yeah.
I'm just like, go to the bar and get a glass of wine and that bread with drippings. It's like, that would be a great meal in and of itself.
I mean, yeah, you could fill up on that bread appetizer and like a vegetable.
Totally. And get like and yourself be satisfied. A nice little meal. For that.
Yeah.
Like that bread and a salad would be a good meal for me.
100%.
I think we got fries too.
Oh yeah. We got French fries.
Just thought of that. Cause I was like, or some fries. I was like, oh, we did get fries.
Oink, oink. It was delicious.
It was so good. I feel like it was just a really memorable, great meal. Everything was good.
Yeah.
But I want that lobster pasta again. It's like, you know, pasta, to get a good pasta in a restaurant, it's just like nothing you can make at home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what you got to pick.
Yeah.
So I think we did a really good job ordering.
We did a great job. Anyway, that's it. We will see you next week for our main episode.
It's going to be a Behind the Music case.
Oh, shit. Awesome. All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.